Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I'm going to speak today for a few minutes, and I'm just going to call it Next Level Glory. Next Level Glory. And of course, that's the way you say it, Next Level Glory. But if I was raised up in and around all my life in Pentecost, and Pentecostal people are just real explosive, okay? We're just it's nothing laid back, nothing. We like it loud and exciting. And so let me tell you how I know how to say Next Level Glory, okay? We say Next Level Glory. So I know you think today it may be Next Level Glory, but we say Next Level Glory. So I want you to practice that. Just turn around and say, Glory. Man, y'all did good. Y'all did good. Y'all did. Actually, y'all didn't do really good, but I'm trying to build you up because everybody gets an award. You know what I mean? Turn around and say it again. Say, Glory. Man, y'all getting it. Y'all getting it. Next Level Glory. I don't know why I said that, but it was a lot of fun. So I want to ask you today a question to get this going. But again, before I do that, I would like to say that Billy Bohannon and Anna and Scott are about to go on a missions trip. And I know from time to time different people go on missions trip, but Billy and Anna and Scott Popek are all taking off for I think 9-10 days to Mexico. And Billy and Anna are doing a lot of missions work right now, and I'm excited about what they're doing. And I just don't think that we are to pray for them in their travels, meeting with a lot of pastors and churches and starting churches, all kind of cool stuff, some conference stuff going on and speaking into pastors' lives. Did you know right now, this morning, in Mexico, and this is due to the Bohannon's work, but right now in Mexico, there's a group settled around a table somewhere with Facebook up about to watch me preach. Isn't that cool? And that happens every week. So, gloria a Dios to my friends in Mexico. That's about the best I can do to help you right there. So, that's the only thing they understood, the whole message. But I love that, and I'm excited about that. How many have, again, this is the question I want to ask, how many have felt the Lord's touch already in this service? I want you to raise your hand. Have you felt the Lord's touch in this service? It wasn't a trick question. But did you know, and this is a very rhetorical question, but did you know that when the Lord touches your life, it's not a one-time thing that is offered to you? It is something that God is desiring to continue to touch your life. He's not wanting to just give you goosebumps on Sunday morning, but He is wanting to continue to touch your life. It's not a once a month or once a year, or He's too busy to touch you again. He wants you to stay in His presence, to feel after the Lord. And I know you know that God wants to touch your life again and again and again. And I thank Him so much for that. But there is something that I want to add to that, and that is this. You have to posture yourself to be able to receive that touch. I didn't say you had to perfect yourself. I didn't say you had to be all perfect. You had to get everything right, all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. But I said you had to get yourself postured in the right position to feel the touch of God or to touch God. Daniel absolutely knew his God wanted to touch him. It was no doubt in Daniel's mind, and he would stand up to kings and decrees and stand and face death head on, because he knew that God wanted to touch him and speak to him, But three times a day, he went to a prayer window that he had. He would open that window, posture himself, prepare himself to hear the voice of God and to be in the presence of God. So if you want God to touch you again and again and again, you have to posture yourself to prepare yourself for God to do a work in your life. You receive that this morning? And so I have often wondered how there can be two people in the presence of the Lord, and one can be on fire. I mean, one can be lit up in the presence of God. You can see it on their face, in their life, their makeup, their worship. You just see it bubbling out of them there in the presence of the Lord, and they are just receiving a touch from God, and they are touching the garment of God, and there's an awesome connection there. And then maybe right next to them or right down the row will be somebody that looks like a turtle on top of a fence post. They don't know how they got there. They don't know when they're going to get down. They're ready for the service to get out. They're just needing off of the fence post. Somebody put me here. Dear God, and I'm ready to get out. And it's unbelievable to me that they can be so close and the presence of God be just all up in the room, but a vast difference. The thing I believe and what I propose to tell you today is that one has postured themselves to reach out and touch God and be touched by God. The other's body language, spirit, everything about them is said, can't touch this. And God and his, the Spirit of God is a perfect gentleman. The Spirit, I think some people think, well, you know, when we invite them to church, oh God, you know, they don't even know what's about to happen to them. It's just going to knock them down. The Spirit of God is a perfect a gentleman, if I can say it that way, in that he only comes in vessels that are open to receive him. So if you're here today and scared to death that something's going to jump on you, it's not unless you have postured yourself to receive something more of God. And if you have postured yourself, if you've opened up yourself, then Jesus is willing to come in and touch you and minister unto your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
One in the two, the scenario that I'm giving, one has prepared a highway of worship for the Spirit to ride in on that highway. And the other has shut down all the highway, turned off the exits, and there's no way wanting God anywhere to ride into their life. I want to stop and say, as for me, Nathan Keating, I can't speak for you, but I want to say this. Lord, I want to build a highway, not only on Sunday morning at 10, but every opportunity I can throughout my days, throughout the week, I want to build. I know it may not be corporate worship, and I'm not at the business going, whoo, but I'm talking about that I am creating a posture that Jesus knows he's always welcome in my life. He's always willing to do something dynamic to speak into my life. And so I encourage you today in the name of Jesus Christ, if it's been a while since you felt the Lord, quit blaming it on everything around you and start looking at self and change your posture. Change your posture. Change your willingness to be open to God, open to receive from the touch and the voice and the presence of God. The Bible talks about a lady, and we preach about her often, and we call her the woman with the issue of blood. She had a blood disease, a blood problem, and she had been to every physician. You know the story well if you were raised around the church. But if not, I'm going to explain this to you. She was struggling with a blood issue. It was destroying her body, and they didn't have the modern medicines that we have. It might have been something minor, but it was killing her. It was big in that day. And so she was struggling, went to every physician. No one could help her, and she's on her way home, and she is frustrated. She's tired. Some of you have been into modern medicine and felt the same way. I know I have. Adina's mother has been right there right now, done everything she knows to can, and still struggling physically and all of these things going on, and just tired of seeing doctors and tired of spending money, and nothing's helping me, and this is exactly where she's at. And she's walking home from that, and she passes a crowd, and Jesus is in the midst of the crowd. And somewhere she's been taught, if you ever see Jesus, you've got to get into his presence. Because anytime you're in the presence of the Lord and you posture yourself correctly, Jesus can do something dynamic in your spirit. And she somehow had been taught this. And she sees Jesus up ahead. There's a host of a crowd around him. I kind of see it as an open-air building, and the crowd is pressing him, and she sees it and wonders what's going on. Can you imagine her kind of coming and going, who's up there? And they say, well, Jesus is up there. And I've heard about him. And she does something so unique, so unique. The crowd is everywhere, and she begins, the Bible says it this way, King James says, that she pressed her way through the crowd. Now, different texts really open this up, but I think King James does pretty well with that, if you can get that picture, that she pressed her way through the crowd. I've been through some big crowds, and my wife is the non-rule breaker. I'm the rule breaker. And I'm the guy in the crowd that you hate. Because I'm wanting to get to the front, and I'm going to do whatever I can to try to get there. I don't mean like bite you or hurt you, but I press. And so, you know, I'll take a step here when I get a little opening and come in here, and I turn around, Dina's way back there, and I'm going, dear. And then I get up here, and then I wait on her so patiently like a good husband without any telling her that I wish she would hurry up, but I am telling her that now. But I mean, you know, move through. This woman was doing, I don't think she was being as nice as I. She was pressing. I can see people kind of grabbing her by the hair of the head. You know when you're frustrated, people never do that with me. But grabbing her by the hair of the head and saying, stop, where are you going? I've been here for hours. And I don't think she even responded. I just think she pressed her way through the crowd. And she gets to where Jesus is at. The reason that she's there is to touch Jesus. Everybody else is in a line to be touched by Jesus. She says, I'm starting my own line to touch him. There was a posture difference in everybody else in the room. That doesn't mean everybody else was bad, but there was a different posture from this woman to everybody else. She was forming a line to touch who Jesus is, to touch, reach out and touch him. And Jesus, as soon as she touched him, Jesus stopped and said, somebody touch me. Somebody touch me. Now, the disciples were common sense people like you and I, and they're around and they're tired. They got BO working and they everybody stinks. It's hot. It's Texas weather about most of the time and in that part of the country, and everybody just, oh my, did he really say what I thought he just said? He did, John. Simon, you know, he's kind of spouting off, and finally he just says, Lord, let me just say this. Everybody's touching. Everybody's bumping up against you. Everybody's bumping all of us. We've been bumped all morning because of you. We've been pushed around, we've been bumped, and Jesus said, somebody touch me. There is a huge difference from being in the presence and being bumped by Jesus, and the difference from being in the presence and you reaching out and touching Jesus. Huge difference. You see, a lot of people can come to the house of God and feel a bump of Jesus. And it's enough to carry them for a day or two, and it's blessing and it's wonderful. Or you can go to a concert and be bumped by Jesus. You can be in environments where you feel the bump of Jesus, and I'm not taking away from that, because some people maybe in this room, it's your first time in this place, and that's all you can handle at this time. And I don't mean that in a degrading or condescending way, but it's the first time you've ever felt the presence of the Lord, and it's all right. It's all right. You're in a great, safe place. But I've got to tell you, there is a desire not to always stay where I've always been. I want to be more than have a rub or a bump up against Jesus. I want relationship. I want connection. I want to touch Him. I want to touch Him. And so I'm asking you today, what is your posture? Are you willing to just feel a casual bump of Jesus, or are you willing to step in His presence, press your way through some stuff up in your world, press your way through your pride and through you think of what Wake Church ought to be and through this and through that, and I wonder if anybody's looking at me or anybody's staring at me right now. Oh, I got my hands up. Somebody probably thinks I'm saying hello. I mean, none of that. I'm pressing away all through the things of life, and I'm stopping in His presence and saying, I'm here now. This is where I wanted to be, and I'm going to reach out and touch Him. My posture is in a place that I touch Him, and Jesus stops in His tracks and said, somebody just touched me. How do you know it? Peter said, somebody's pressing against you. Come on, Jesus. The crowd, he said, the crowd presses up against you. What's wrong with that? And he said, no. I felt a virtue go out of me. Because people that start their own line, that posture change, you feel a next level of the glory of God. That doesn't mean the other level's bad, but the closer you get to God and the more you stretch to God and the more your posture changes, there is a next level of the glory of God. Y'all are looking at me saying, this man is wired. Let me just say this. I want to be in His presence, and I hunger always to be in the presence of God. But I want more than a bump. I want a connection. I want a life change. I want something to change me. And I want to change it. He said a virtue came from me. There was a change even in Jesus going on. That he felt something flow from Him. I want our services every week. And I felt it. I felt it from the first beat of the drum. From my walk in this room, I felt the presence of God. I felt a connection. But about that second song, something went to the next level for me. I'm just talking about me. The second song, doesn't mean the first song wasn't good. I was feeling the bump on the first song. And then the second song, Nathan Keating started changing his posture. And I started moving out of a life and what things have been going on. And ooh, it feels good in church. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling something. I started feeling that next level. I started feeling my eyes water up. I started feeling the presence of God, and I was touching Him, and He was touching me. I didn't care what you was doing. I didn't care what anybody else was saying. I don't even know what the song was, Scott, but I'll tell you this. I touched Him. He touched me. He was here. What is your posture? What is your posture? I have to constantly reassess my posture. I have to constantly look and say, am I open to Him? Do I want a next level in my life? And I know we kind of use this, you know, next level. We're going to have a next level service. And that kind of gets cliche. But really therein, I have Bible for it today. And I'm going to kind of lay that out to you towards the end of my message. But there is levels of the glory of God. Doesn't mean the other level's bad. And if where you're at that first level, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody or mess with your theology, but I want to encourage you right now. If what you have done is raise your hand and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that is awesome. Come on, people. That is awesome. We never discount what you've got in God at Parkway Life Church. We never discount your steps, and shame on us if we do. But we are saying this. If you have done that, don't stop there. There is a next level. You can keep taking steps in God. I am 49 years of age, was raised on the pew, and every time I think I've got God figured out, he moves, he changes. I see a different facet of him. My face grows brighter. I see him in a different place, and I move from glory to glory. Is that all right today? And so if you have not experienced another level in God, thank God for where you're at. Thank God, and we celebrate that. If all you've done is repent, that is enough to get all the angels of heaven out of going, yes, Bobby, Sue, repented today. And all of heaven is celebrating repentance in the house of God. And I worship at that. I celebrate with the angels. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't think you've got it cornered. There's a next level you can go to. You keep taking levels every day, every step, every move in your life. And there's glory to glory. And there's a move of God that he keeps showing you and feeding things into your life that you're touching him and changing. If you have opened your mouth and God has filled it with a heavenly language, man, I'm excited for you. That is awesome. That is wonderful. And we celebrate that at this church. Amen. When someone's filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, we get excited about that stuff. But don't stop there. I'm preaching to a bunch of folks right now. Because when you stop there, you got your graduation papers and go, whoop, I'm in. No, that's your birthing papers. It's next level. Keep going, keep moving, keep changing from glory to glory to glory to glory. And they'll go to the next level in God. And I remember the song we used to sing a long time ago. Take me back to the place where I first received him. And there's nothing wrong with that. God bless the bump. But let me just say something. I don't want to go back to where I first received him. Dear God, I've worked. I'm 49 years of age. I've been through some hills and valleys and storms and difficulties. I don't want to go back to third grade when I had my hands up and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for it. But man, I thank God I'm a whole another level right now. I don't mean I'm better than anybody. I don't mean that at all. But God has moved me down a journey of life. I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. I don't want to look out the rearview mirror when I've got a glass, massive glass in front of me that I can move into the next dimension of God. I'm about to start preaching. Man. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost up in this house. And so I'm going to posture myself to touch him. Because when I touch him, he'll stop and he'll turn around and he'll take my hand. When I think about the Lord touching us, one of the things that my mind quickly goes to is the potter. Because the potter, it's not something that we use a lot in this generation, but used back in many years ago, that pottery was everything, just about was out of pottery. And when I go back into biblical terms, it's laid out this thought, and Jeremiah talks about that he, Christ, this Almighty God that we serve, is the potter and we are the clay. And the reason my mind jumps to that when I think about me touching God and him touching me is because the Bible talks about, and we sing songs about this and it's beautiful, but that he goes over into the miry clay. And that's the nasty, dirty, yucky. That's not like a beautiful thing. That's yucky. It's full of dirt and grime and junk. And somewhere in the midst of all of that, there's clay that's tied up into all of that. It's not beautiful. It's just a blob. It's just that. That's kind of the way we were when before we came to God. Just. Man, I don't like who I am. I don't like what I am. I don't like what I see in the mirror. I don't like any of this. It's just, I just feel like a blob. And all of a sudden, the potter comes to the miry clay, reaches his hand down into the miry clay, picks up the miry clay. And from the moment he picks up the miry clay to the time that he takes it off the potter's wheel, he never quits touching the clay. It's God that controls the speed of the potter's wheel, just as the master potter. He controls the speed of the wheel. But it's okay because you can handle the speed of the wheel because the master's hand is on you. And through the process, this process called developing the vessel, his hand is on you and it's forming you. And he's throwing out clay and he's chunking out dirt and junk and things that rocks and stuff until he forms the, he keeps working until the clay starts changing its shape. And now the clay is coming into a form. And I celebrate that. I celebrate when he touches me and lifts me out of the mire clay. I celebrate that. I celebrate as he forms me. And every time repentance pulls something from me and godly sorrow pulls some, and he's forming me, but he keeps touching me. And the wheel's going, and he's working me. And sometime at this point, people say, well, I had enough. Like, get me off the wheel. Things spinning too fast for me. And he's saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Stay on the wheel. I'll form you. I'll hold you. And he's forming it, and he's making it, and he's creating it. And he starts bringing shape where there was void. And he's working that wheel. But the master always stays in connection with me. And Jeremiah said, it's like he's the potter and I am the clay. God, you either need to hurry up or get me off of this wheel because things are getting tough. Now, you think I just made that up, but Romans chapter 9 talks all about that. I'm up in the New Testament now. It's Romans chapter 9 where Paul comes back out and he talks briefly in a few texts about the fact that people are struggling with the fact of being on the potter's wheel. And they're wrestling with it in chapter. In fact, they're struggling even what God's making them into. They're mad. I want to be this. And he's saying, but I'm formed you that. I know what the vessel that I came in with a full understanding of what I want to make in you. But I don't like it. I want off the wheel. Read Romans 9. And he's saying, listen to this. No. I'm going to form you. I know what you can handle. I know what the vessel can handle because it's in the master's mind. I'm going to plan you. I'm going to work you. I'm going to form you. Get me off the wheel. And Romans chapter 9 talks and fleshes that out and says, who are we as the clay to tell the potter what we want to be? Oh, I love Romans 9. But we keep working through this and all through the master, the potter, the Savior is touching us and forming. I want to say here today, in the name of Jesus, if you want a change in your spirit, let the Lord touch you. Touch you where you have void. Touch you where you're lifeless. Touch you where you're struggling. And all the time your posture is saying, Lord, I'm open to your touch. I reach out and I grab hold and I want to touch you. And there's this beautiful community that begins to go on. And let him touch that heart, that broken heart, man. That thing that's been ripped out, stomped on, abused by life. I got to tell you, I know it's dangerous. I know it's taking a chance. I know you feel like everybody else has failed me. But if you will just stop and let him touch a hurting heart, all of a sudden there starts to be form to it. He starts to make, God, I hate the speed of the wheel. I know you do, son, but I'm forming you and I'm making you and I'm creating you. And let me keep working on you because I have a master vessel that I am creating. Touch my heart, God. But you say I'm a woman and I've got an unclean heart. Trust me, the master is not scared of your dirty heart. He'll touch you. If he'll touch a leper when everybody else run, if Jesus will step in and say, I'll touch you, let me tell you something, he'll touch your dirty heart just the same way. You say, well, I'm a man and I've got a perverted, broken heart. There's people that don't even know what's going on in my heart. I'm telling you, Jesus, if you'll just give him a chance. Do you believe me today, church? If you'll just give him a chance, he'll touch. He'll touch your heart, sir. He'll touch your heart. And so he'll change you from glory to glory, glory to glory. I want to read 2 Corinthians. And this is where I get my title from today, the scriptures that I'm about to read to you. Beautiful set of scriptures. Paul wrote these, and here we go. It's 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Everybody say, the Spirit and the Lord are one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Wherever he's at, there's an opportunity for you to receive freedom. Because he is not scared to touch anything in your life. When you have junk up in your world, please don't run from him. But get your Nike Airs on and run to him. Just do it. Did y'all hear it? And move towards him. Go towards him. Sometimes people start hurting and they run from. Run to him. Because in his presence there's peace and there's everlasting joy and there's love. And he'll touch you and he'll hold you and he'll be with you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want freedom for everybody in this house today. Everybody in this house today. Verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces, I don't have time to preach all that, but that's crazy good stuff right there. With unveiled faces, all reflect the glory. We've taken our shields off. We've taken our mask off. We've taken all the things that we've got covered up, that we have covered up all the layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. And now with unveiled faces, I'm involved in the posturing. And now with unveiled faces, all reflect the glory of the Lord. You start seeing Christ in me. And listen to this. We all reflect the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory. Everybody say next level. Hear it? Intensifying. NLT says intensifying. King James Version says glory to glory. I love intensifying glory. And so there is levels of glory. I don't mean there's level of saved people and unsaved. But I'm talking about there's levels of him that you can move into. Don't be hungrier to change your levels on your video game than you are to change your levels in the glory of God. That just came to me, and that's pretty good right there. Don't be so interested in changing your levels in your relationships with your boyfriend and your girlfriend and your wife and your kids and not changing the level of relationship with your Savior. That was free. And being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I move to next level glory. And as I move in next level glory, my face changes its countenance. Now, I don't mean literally like my face, goes from looking one way to another way. But who I am begins to change. I begin to evolve into looking like him. I begin to change into looking like him. There's an intensifying of the glory. I move into his image, the Bible says. That's why I don't want to go back to where I first jumped in this. I'm changing and I'm moving and I'm being developed in him. And if you're a babe in Christ, again, we celebrate where you are. And that doesn't mean the place where I am, I think I'm greater than you. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the place where you are at is great, but keep being hungry. And the place where I am is great, but I'm still hungry. And I'm thirsty because I want to intensify the glory of God. I'm 49, and if God gives me many years to live, one day I want to continue to age in this process. And then I want to year by year and day by day know him better. And I want you as the congregation, and I want you to be able to see Christ in me. And I want to look at you and see Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want the world to be able to look at us, just cold turkey on our jobs, and say, there's something different about you. There's something that I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different, and they're already saying that about you, whether you know that or not. And that's beautiful. And the reason why is because you're looking more like Him. There's a countenance change in your spirit. The Lord says that He's changing us from glory to glory, and He wants us to enjoy this process of change as we get closer to Him. And so I'm going to ask you a question today. At what stage of glory are you in? I can't answer that question. And there, again, there's no big eyes, little U's. That's not what we're talking. But what stage has there been movement in your life? Has there been change in your life? Has there been growth in your life? Is there developing in your life? And so I don't want to compare myself to anybody else, but I want for me and my house, I want for Nathan Keating, I want there to be a change, a glory, an intensifying glory. I looked up the same verses that I read to you. I added verse 16 to it, but I want to read the same verses out of The Message, which is a translation that a pastor translated and made things and broke it down for folks. And a guy, I think his name is Eugene Peterson or something like that, but he broke it down. I want to read The Message. Here it goes. You ready? Same verses that I read to you earlier. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. This is New Testament. And they suddenly, boom, there's this moment. They recognize there's revelation. Look at the revelation. That God is a living, personal presence. Not a piece of chiseled stone. And see, you got to get that. Because it's this glory. It's when I see this and I move and I change, all of a sudden I move out of idolatry and into recognizing I'm not serving a God on a hill somewhere. I'm not serving a God that's locked in some castle somewhere. I am serving a real personal God that can change me through the power of His presence. Isn't that beautiful? He's no longer a chiseled stone, and God needs to move out of that level into a new level in your life where you don't think of Him as something you just put on a shelf. He's not just that little thing on the shelf that you walk by every once in a while and you go, you know, glory be. No. He's not chiseled stone. He's not an idol anymore. He's never been an idol, but he wants to get out of that in your life, and He wants you to move into where He's personal, where He goes, hey, Joe. That's me and you do life together. Hey, Bill, I want to do life. As sure as I'm talking to you here today, the Lord wants to do life with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to change you. He wants to make in you. He wants to create within you, as David said, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. He's making you, and He's changing you, and He's creating in you. It's next level glory. Next verse. Says this. And when God is personally present, you better watch out. This is what happens. When He's personally present, when you get that revelation that, hey, this God's right here with me, a living spirit, living, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. What I'm doing right now is nobody's making me do it. I'm not doing it because of law. I'm not doing anything. What I'm doing, I'm in His presence. Nobody's making me come to church. Nobody drugged me here today. I'm here because I want to be here. When you get that, something starts changing up in your spirit. I'm not here because I'm on the security team or I'm on that team or on that dream team or I'm serving coffee. I'm here. That's a blessing and I get to serve. But I am in here because I am serving the Lord and I'm recognizing I don't have to do anything. I get to do everything that I'm doing, and I'm going to tell you everything because, and we're free of that old law. All of us. Next verse, it says this. Nothing between us and God, There's nothing between us and God. Our faces, look, here we go, next level glory, glory to glory, intensifying glory. Look at this. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. Look, there's brightness of his face. I'm starting to shine. And so we are transfigured, whoops, and we are transfigured much like the Messiah, and our lives look, next level. Our lives gradually becoming much brighter and more beautiful as God enters our life and we become like him. Man, I've got to close. Scott, come up here and get me some closing music. I've got to close. But I do have something else I'd like to tell you. Is that all? Can I share it with you? Because I got a little more preach in me. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 gives us a little picture of what starts happening as change starts coming. And Paul lays this out. And if you read the scriptures prior to this, even chapter 5 and different things, all those are amazing. But and it sets up what I'm about to read to you. But I don't have time to go into all of that. But be a studier. Go study it. But listen to this. I want to read what Galatians says. But the Holy Spirit produces something. Remember how we read all about the Spirit and what God's doing and through his Spirit and it changing us and the Lord and the Spirit are one and boy, it's bringing this change and it's glory to glory, intensifying glory and all this. But there's something that starts creating in you. And I don't have this on the screen for you because this came to me this morning. But it's Galatians chapter 5, and it's verse 22 through 23, and I'm going to read out of NLT, and it says this, but the Holy Spirit produces something in you. Anybody want to know what that is? Anybody hungry to hear what that is? You ready? It produces the change. What's the change? I know what the change is. I know what, because I remember walking in a church one day, and they gave me a whole things I need to change. I know what the change is. I got the change figured out. It's like that lady one time. She called me, and this was many years ago. She called me and said, Pastor, I've been in the church a number of years. Where's the list? And I said, I'm not going to call her name, but I said, what list are you talking about? I'll never forget it. She said, the list. We all know there's a list. I said, what list? She said, the list to measure up, get all straightened up. I said, ma'am, you got the wrong church. Because what she's looking for is to change into my likeness. I don't want her to change into my likeness. I have imperfections also. I don't want her to start looking more like me or start looking more like Adina. We're just beings that God's using. I'm not wanting her to change in some creed of some church. I don't want to create in some denominal look. No! You know what I want to do? And I'm not beating up anybody else. I'm just telling you, you know what I want to do? I want her to start looking more like Christ has her look. I want him to start saying, woo, man, I'm going to tell you what, I got some junk up in my life in God's name. Woo, buddy, I'm so glad you brought me on board. I am ready to work and strive with you and deal with you. I'll be gentle with you. It's between me and you, buddy. It's I'm the potter, you're the clay. We're not going to advertise this. We're not going to tell everybody about this. In fact, everything I'm going to do up in your life is going to be in the private, and I'm going to work with you. It's called convictions, and I'm going to work with you in the private, and I'm going to make you, and I'm going to form you, and all of a sudden, I'm going to get through, and I'm going to set it out, and I'm going to set it, and everybody's going to go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And you're going to sing songs like this, I once was lost, but now I'm saved. Hallelujah. You should have seen me. I was in the miry clay, but now I'm sitting out and I'm being used in the service of God. Yeah. You're being changed in the likeness and the makeness of who the Creator and the King of Kings is. I don't have no list. Sorry about that. If you want a list, Larry will tell you where you can find it. He went to a church. They gave him a list. Am I telling you the truth? He walked in one Sunday and they gave him a whole list. He said, I don't. Because Larry was off the chart. I mean, didn't he? But aren't you so glad he wasn't off the chart for Jesus? Jesus said, I got this. I got this. I got this. I've been working with Larry Types for years. He's just flesh. He's just clay. But he's my vessel. And he started picking him up. Come on, Bubba. Come up here. I know you like the spotlight anyways. And he starts forming him. Look at it. Look at it. Starts forming him. Starts making him. Starts creating him. And Tammy's going, use him, Lord, right now. Use him. Use him. But he's forming. He's making. He's creating. He's creating. He's creating. And he gets Tammy. Oh, yep, yep, yep. Tammy, you too. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And he's forming. And he's making. And he's creating. And he's developing. And he's working. And he's doing this deal. They were not raised in the church. I know I was, and many of you, but they were not raised in the church. They didn't know about all this stuff. But God's forming. He said, I don't care. We're not on different levels of greatness here, but there's levels of glory. Aren't you glad you don't have to go back to many years ago when you first walked in? Thank God. But we're moving. We're moving. And he's creating. And he's making. And he's forming. And he's not through yet, bro. And sis, he's not through yet. He's moving. And he's making. And he's creating. And you know what? We went through this Harvey, and him and I had to work together. And when we got through, you know what he told me? He said, Pastor, I've enjoyed working with you. Man, it's been a blast. I've grown a lot. He wasn't growing because he's around me. He's growing because I've been around someone else. And I've been around someone else, and he's never been at this spot before, and my face was shining brighter, and he says, I'm hungry for that, and he reaches out and grabs that, and now he's got another level to go to. And I'm not telling you it's me. I'm telling you it's Christ in me. And so you, wherever you're at, be hungry, be thirsty, grow in God, develop in God. Chris, you didn't come here to stay where you're at. Grow in God. Hayden, man, I'm glad you're here, cuz. Come on, buddy. You're my family, man. You're my family, baby. You're my family. It's a brand new young man in our church. He's really akin to Adina. His last name is Spears. But I gotta say, we're family. God's doing stuff up in his life. Don't you stop, Hayden. I know you were raised in and around the church, but don't you stop. Don't think you got it all figured out, son. You hear me? Don't you think? Bow up on, get tough in this. As hard as you serve the world, serve God that hard. Fall in love with him. Hallelujah. Come on, David. Hallelujah. We got to grow. Come on, man. We got to go. Come on, bro. We've got to go in God. I can't stay. I know I preached too long, but I'm having so much fun. God's doing things up in people. Jay and Donna, don't you stop. You keep glowing from glory to glory. Come on, come on. Don't you stop. You got to develop. You got to become. Let him make you into his creature. Somebody throw your hands up and say, Lord, take me to the next level. Take me to the next level, Lord. Take me to the next level, Lord. Take me to the next level, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.